For decades, Christian physician David Hilfiker says this. He's led a medical ministry in Washington, D.C., and he's gone to many third world countries and led medical missions. And here's what he says. Perhaps the deepest pain involved in visiting and serving amongst the poorest of the poor and the broken of the broken is the comparison of my own limitations and my own woundedness with theirs. I am so limited and hurting at times, but nothing compares to them and theirs. For at least I have Christ and a bed and food, and the list goes on. There are so many battered people all over the place. He says this, I sometimes wonder what the Good Samaritan would have done if on the road to Jericho, it had been littered with hundreds and hundreds of men who were beaten by robbers. One part of me wants to respond to every need that I can, but another part is so unwilling, maybe perhaps because I'm so unable. Much of my numbness and my cynicism at times, I suspect, are more often the products of frustrated compassion than of evil, selfish intentions. This is found in an article, A Doctor's Journey, Not All of Us Are Saints, written in 1996. And as he writes, I can so identify with that. There's times where I see the need, and it could be physical, and certainly it is spiritual. But I find myself almost resisting and saying, no, not anymore. I can't. And then I feel guilty. Just like David, this doctor, experienced. And maybe you've experienced that. And so here we are. Two guys from your church hearing a call from God to simply go to another nation. That God might speak the message of hope, the message of forgiveness of Jesus Christ to one of these remotest lands where there is not a Christian witness, where there are not a number of believers established and sharing over and over the good news of Christ. And so we come back surprised at what God did, how He showed up. And so we've been sharing with some of you one-on-one or in small groups as you ask us questions, and we've been trying to answer that, wanting to be careful. Because we know we can't transfer that experience to you. It would be foolish to try and do that. But you were inquisitive and you asked, and so we shared. And then last week, we shared a lot through pictures and slideshows and video. And then we had David, the missionary, and Adama, our translator, the Burkina Faso native, live with Skype. And he talked with us and shared his personal testimony. And then he prayed with us in his native Jula tongue. How awesome was that? So where do we go from here? What do we do? And that's why we come to the scripture this morning. Because God does have some instruction for us as we look to discern, as we pray, and as we say, God, if, how, what, how, when, show us, God. Because we have been changed because of grace. And God, we can't do it all. And we can't reach every group, unreached people group. But is this one that you're calling us to be a part of? As one guy in the church, I, even as your pastor, can tell you for sure, I do not know. But I'm praying. And I'm listening. And I believe and I know that God knows. And I know this, that God wants you to know, and He wants me to know. And the reason I don't know is because I haven't heard from you. If we are praying together by the same Spirit, acknowledging our limitations, our own weakness, but praying to the same God, He will let us know corporately, yea or nay. Now is the time, now is the place. I believe that. We see in the Scriptures, it was the church who heard from God. It was a church who sent out those within their midst to go and to reach others. God speaks to the church, to His body, one body, Him being the head, each one of us a different part of that body, a different piece. And so God wants to speak to the church. So we need to understand how to discern, how to be diligent, how to be disciplined, how to be dependent on Him and one another as we seek His answer. And so, as I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 10, it's interesting for us as we look at the very first words, after these things. Well, what things? You know, making disciples for Christ helps give us, His people, a needed shift. If I were to go back to chapter 9 in Luke, we would see in the first few verses that He called the 12 apostles together. And He said, fellas, I'm going to right now give you extraordinary power. The power that you saw in Me to heal, to cast out demons, I'm going to give to you, and I'm sending you out, you 12, two by two, to go into these lands and to these cities. You go, guys. And then they came back and they shared their experience with Him. And you know what the Lord did? He then said, guys, let's get away on a boat. Let's relax a little bit because ministry's hard and you're exhausted. You know what the people did? They wouldn't give them rest. And they pursued them and they followed them. And you know what they did? And then Jesus said, I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. And then He did that on a hillside. And you know what? 5,000 men and many of their families joined Him. And He kept preaching and He kept preaching and He kept preaching through lunch. It's just like how many of you in your hearts almost every Sunday are begging, don't stop, John. Don't keep going through lunch, through dinner, right? Well, that's my fantasy that's what's going on. And you know what He did? I can't do. He fed them miraculously. We see that. In chapter 9 of Luke, you know what He did after that? He went up on a hillside. He went up on a mountain. And He called Peter, James, and John. He said, fellas, come. You're going to see something. Then He was transfigured. And it became like light. And then Moses and Elijah joined Him. And they experienced that. And they saw that. And it was an incredible experience that these disciples, these inner guys, were getting to know Jesus in such a personal way. And you know what they did then? They began to fight and quarrel and argue about who was the greatest amongst the 12. What? But isn't that what Jesus shows up? He does miraculous things. He does powerful things in our lives. And somehow, some way, we begin to think we are something. We are special. Look what I'm able to do. Look what I've accomplished. Look at this fruit. And am I better than you? And that can happen in our flesh. It happened in theirs. Don't say it never could happen. If it happened with them, God says all temptation is common to man that goes on in your heart. But God's faithful. He'll provide the way of escape. And He did for them as well. You know how? He gathered more. He said, you guys think you're so great because I sent you out. I'm going to gather more. And they're not going to be apostles. Though I'm going to send them, they're not going to have the office of the apostle. And I'm going to send them all out. I'm going to get your eyes off of yourself. Off of how you think you're so great now. And I want your heart to be towards others. And I'm going to send you out to a people and to some places that you would never have gone before. Because you had a prejudice. Because you had a bias. Because you thought you were greater. You thought you were better. And I'm going to ask you to go and live in their homes. I'm going to ask you to go and eat their food. And they became humbled through that experience. Because they became so much more dependent on Jesus Christ. And could it be that that's what God may be doing right here at Open Arms? That in our midst, when He has done something and raised up something that none of us, even us collectively, could have ever foreseen happen. That He's saying, now I want you not to look at yourself. I don't want you to be satisfied and content in yourself. I want you to lift up your eyes. And I want you to look out on the horizon. I want you to see a people and many peoples. Still those in your home. Still those in your neighborhood. But maybe in a remotest land that has still not heard. Still has not experienced forgiveness. Still has not experienced hope. Still has not even heard the message of life eternal, a gift offered to them because of what My Son did and why He came. Could it be? It could be. I'll read the text and we'll come back and we'll look at 10 things for us to look at. One friend saw this outline this morning and he said, oh, Charles Stanley. I think Charles Stanley gives 10 points, right? I usually give three, and I do pretty well in pressing that clock, right? So some of you are saying, okay, we're going to go through lunch. Maybe, maybe not. After these things, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Well, grab your pen, your pencil, walk through these if you like, or just listen. For us to respond will mean that we will need to be dependent. We will need to be discerning. We will need to be disciplined. We will need to be diligent to know what is God saying to Open Arms Church in regards to this matter. Burkina Faso, the Siradugu village, Adama and his people. Is this his call on our lives as a church today? Number one, we need to be discerning of God's calling. Is this God's calling? Notice, after these things, and we just saw in chapter 9, what things? That God showing up, God doing tremendous things, and those guys becoming self-focused. After these things, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them. So is this God? Pray and ask him. God, is this you? Is this like you? Is this what you would do? I know, going the first time, it was absolutely God. I was asked, I prayed, God opened up the door wide. He said, go. I had no idea what awaited me. You know that. I share that with you. John, why are you going? No idea. Except I'm obeying God. He said, go. So now I come back and I share with you about a door that appears to be open. That what we experience in favor for some people. Is that God? Let us discern. God is not a God of confusion. God will speak to you and I as we go to the place where he speaks. And where is that? To his throne. And how do we get to his throne? Through his word and through bended knee. We open up his mouth and he speaks through his mouth. We bow before his throne and he speaks to our hearts. And we ask him the questions that we wonder and that come to our heart and mind. And he answers. And so his spirit will speak to us just like he did and just like he appointed, just like he sent not only the 12, but others. And number two, we need to be dependent on one another. Notice he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. You see, Jesus shows up where he tells us to go. But he says, I want you to go two by two. How ironic it was. Two of us went and we met up with two more and they helped us and they opened up doors. But it was so helpful for two of us to go. We could encourage each other. There was somebody to carry the chickens because I wasn't carrying them. But you have somebody who's there and praying while you're sharing and vice versa. To clarify and to ask. God sent two by two. I'll be sharing with you the opportunity of God calls us to go. We won't be going in mass. 20 people won't be going at one time. 10 people won't be going at one time. That is unnecessary. That will be unproductive. It will be small groups to go. Three, maybe four, and likely no more. Because of the logistics on the land, it's most likely not going to be done. So if God sends us to go, and he sends us to go multiple times, it will be small groups, two by two. Maybe two groups of two by two at the most. Could God change that? Absolutely. But that's my sense of what I experienced, smaller groups going, maybe multiple times. But we go two by two because that's God's plan. He sent out his people two by two. Paul, how many times did he have a partner? It could be Barnabas to begin with, and then Silas, and then Timothy. It's on and on. The same with Peter. He had James, he had John, and so then they went. On and on, two by two. So we need to be dependent on one another as we discern God's call. And number three, we need to be disciplined and ready for what? Hard work. Notice verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is God's harvest. How he works in the hearts of men and women is a mystery. How, when I heard the gospel, I don't know how many times it was, when I read that scripture for the first time in Acts chapter 2, and my heart was broken because I understood who Jesus really was. And why did I get it then and not 9 years earlier as a sophomore in college when I first heard the gospel? Oh, I could give you reasons that I think why, but I don't know. Those are the things that God knows. That's part of his counsel. But here's the truth. God is always at work. God is always looking to draw people to himself. And that's why he tells us to go and to go and to go. Because I'm always at work. And is it this place at this time for you and I? He says, as you go, be ready for some hard work. We use vacation time, but this is not a vacation. It's hard work. The travel is hard work. The travel was harder work than living in the bush. I'll tell you that. The work that you're doing. There's all kinds of forces. You're in a different culture. It's a different society. You're on a different time clock. You're doing different things. Your sleep patterns. Everything's disrupted. It's foreign. It's hard work. That's okay. You've experienced hard work, right? It's hard work. That's okay. We need to be disciplined. John Holt writes in Leadership Magazine, ministry is giving when you feel like keeping. Ministry is praying for others when you need to be prayed for. Ministry is feeding others' soul when your own soul is hungry. Ministry is living the truth before people even when you can't see results. Ministry is hurting with other people even when your own hurt can't even be spoken of. Ministry is keeping your word even when it is not convenient. Ministry is being faithful when your flesh wants to run away. Make no mistake. Jesus said, workers are needed. They're few. The harvest is ready. There's people ready to hear the message. They cannot be saved. They cannot be redeemed. They cannot experience mercy and grace unless they hear the message. And so somebody has to go and share the message. My angels are not sharing the message. Jesus is not coming back to share the message. He came the first time and was the message. And so he says, and you who have experienced the message, it's now on you to go. And when you go, recognize it's hard work. And you know that right in your own hometown. You know that right in your own home. To live the message, to share the message, to cultivate a place of submission and quietness in your own home and in your own sphere of influence, in your own workplace. That's hard work. Because often it's not recognized or appreciated, or it's accusatory. It's said to be something else. So we must be disciplined. Number four, we must be dependent. Notice what Jesus says in the latter part of verse 2. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He's saying, if you're a laborer, if you're already serving God in this church, amen, he's talking to you. If you've already got a ministry where you're serving God, you're making a difference, no matter what that is, God says, laborer, be laboring for other laborers, for others who might even go to another place. And you know what may happen, and many of you have experienced, the reason you're serving God today is you recognize a need and you began to pray. God, raise somebody else, raise somebody up to do that ministry. And whose shoulder did he tap on? Whose heart did he massage? Your own. And so you were faithful to him and you obeyed him. Don't be surprised as you pray as a laborer for laborers, God may then speak to you. They prayed not for an easier, safer ministry, but for others to join them. Why? Because the laborers are few and it's hard work and it's a great big world. And we heard last week from David, the missionary, there's 7,000 groups of people who speak a certain language and they don't have the gospel presented to them on a regular basis. Wow. That's a ton of people. And so we're dependent on God in prayer. Number three, or number five, we need to be discerning of the danger. No, it's what he says. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. This is spiritual work. You know, the enemy, the devil, he came against Jesus, did he not, to tempt him? And as you commit, and as we commit to pray and discern and seek, and if God leads us to go, God is saying it's going to be challenging. It's going to be dark. This community, this place, this land, they're a Muslim community. 60% of those are Muslim. And so there's a belief, there's a faith, there's a religion that they practice. And so when the gospel is raised up, what's going to happen? When some people respond to Christ and they begin to live for Christ. And just like you can't help but share that good news with others because of your love for God and the forgiveness you've received and the new life you've received. Well, what's going to happen? Just like it happens in the New Testament, just like it happens in your life and in your family and your sphere of influence, you're going to be gripped possibly with fear to run and hide or to recognize the fight is not mine. It's God's. And so I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask him to go before me. And the battle is his. And I'm going to be faithful. Jesus says, I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. But can I ask you, who's the shepherd who sends the lambs? It's Jesus. And so he says, I'll be with you. I will lead you. I will care for you as you're out doing what I've called you to do. I am the good shepherd. I've laid my life down for the sheep, and that's you and for others. So they need to hear. Sixth, we need to be diligent. Do what? To the urgency. Notice with me verse 4. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. Rebecca, I see you. Is Mark here this morning? Let me tell you, by the grace of God, neither one of us took a purse. So glad about that. So we fulfilled that. We did not take a purse, but we took a bag. Mark took sandals. I took flip-flops. What Jesus is saying here, travel light. Again, you're not bringing shoes for every night as you go out to fine dine. You're going to work. Bring the appropriate minimal necessities to do the work that you're going to be doing in that culture and in that community. And then Jesus says, and don't greet those as you go. What is that about? Be rude? No. But in that culture of Jesus, and let me tell you, in the culture of Burkina Faso, in the village of Siradugu, those folks greet. And greet is all about stopping in your tracks. I can't tell you how many times we left to go someplace and do something, and every time we met someone, because Adama knew the people in the town, we stopped, and they go through this back and forth greeting with everyone. I'm so glad that my whole agenda was simply to meet people. Because if I really had something else to do, I would have been frustrated. That's not my normal thing. You know it. Many of you will see me in passing, will want to greet with me. Just want to talk with me. Want to catch up. And what am I doing? I'm greeting with you and I'm saying, yeah, come with me. And I'm wiping this or I'm doing that. I'm sorry. That's not good. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm obeying Jesus. I'm serving him. Yeah. Stop distracting me. No, that's wrong. That's lame. That's being rude. That's not good. But here, he says, stop allowing yourself to be distracted by greeting folks. Go. Let nothing stop you. Because good things, even the greeting of others, can keep you from the greatest thing, the Great Commission, to share with others the good news of Christ. So he says, be diligent because of the urgency. Number five or verse five, number seven in your outline, be discerning of the receptivity. Notice, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. In other words, when you go, you share with him, God has sent me. Am I welcomed here? God looks to bless you. God has good news for you. Am I welcomed here? If they welcome you here, you have found a home of peace, a man of peace, a woman of peace. God says, that's your headquarters. That's where you stay. And then you begin to share with them this good news. And you watch, he says, they'll be asking questions. Because God says, when I open up the door and you're a person of grace and your speech is full with grace and it's seasoned with salt, they're going to ask you questions. And you will know. And you stay there. And you minister from that community. And as you heard last week, we found a person of peace. A chief, no less. Madhu, the brother of Adama. A Muslim man saying, come back. Stay in my compound. Here is land. And can I tell you about the land? The land is about 5% of this whole big picture. It's not about taking the land and building a castle or building a... That's not it. We may receive that land and do nothing. We may never receive the land. The land is minimal in this whole equation. The thing is that it was offered to us. That's an extension of grace. That's an extension of peace. Here's some land if you want to come back to build a shelter for your church. So that when you come, you don't have to sleep under the stars. So you have a place to lock up your equipment. So we may or may not take them up on that. That is irrelevant. That's a small part of what happens here. We're not going to go and to build an expensive house. If we ever build a shelter, it will be just like theirs. As we'll see in a few moments. I read about a powerful lesson taught during missionary language school. You may have heard me share this in the past. The very first day of class, the female teacher entered the room and without saying a word, walked up and down each aisle. And then she left the room. She came back to the room and she said to the class, did you notice anything special about me? Nobody could think of anything in particular. And then one student, a female, raised her hand and she said, I did notice that you were wearing a very lovely perfume. Everybody laughed. And she said, that's exactly what I wanted you to notice. And here's what she said. It will be a long time before any of you will be able to speak Chinese well enough to share the gospel with anyone in China. But even before you are able to share the gospel in their native tongue, you can minister the refreshing fragrance of Christ to the Chinese people by the gracious, servant-like quality of your lives. And so it is with you, and so it is with I, if God calls us. A servant-like, humble attitude, despite what God and how He's blessed us, to folks that He loves, and He wants to hear the good message. But thanks be to God, He's given us a translator. He's provided us a believer who can share that native tongue, because none of us may ever learn Jula, the native tongue of that tribe. Number 8, verse 7, be diligent or be dependent on others' hospitality. Notice with me verse 7. So stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. He's saying, go to that place and let them, now this is hard for us Americans, let them take care of you. Let them feed you. Let them put you up. Here's what God's saying. God's saying, do you realize that what you're bringing to them is priceless? It cost me my very son's life more than all the gold and the silver and the cows and the chickens. And so when you're going, be humble, but realize that you are bringing them great news of glad tidings. Jesus, the Savior, God's Son, is born for you and died so you might be connected to the Father. He said, there's no cost to that. It costs me everything. So he says, that's good news. And when you bring something good, When you share that good news with somebody and they're open and they begin to respond, they want to give you everything. They want to give you the kitchen sink. Do you realize there's hardly anyone more blessed in this church from receiving that than me? Because of the opportunity I've had to be able to open up the Scripture and share many of the gospel with you folks. And what do? You just look for opportunities to be gracious to me and to my family and to other pastors as well. Why? Because you realize, wow, what they shared with me was priceless. I'll do anything because what they shared was priceless. And God says, give them the same opportunity to take care of you. But notice, He says, and what they put before you, you must eat. Okay, we messed up when we went the first time. Next time, we got to eat everything that they put before us. You know what He's also teaching? You see, He was sending His disciples into communities where before they wouldn't eat what they ate. He's saying, knock down the laws and the prejudice and those other things, those rules and regulations about eating. Put them down. You will offend if you don't eat what they're eating. So eat it. Don't offend. Be gracious. Sleep where they tell you to sleep. Be like them in the way that they live and accept their hospitality. And then we see number 9, be diligent in the purpose. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Making friends, learning a new culture, experiencing another part of the world, all of that is good. It's thrilling. It's exciting. But as that happens, let us not forget the purpose. The purpose is the Great Commission. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus has come. He offers you redemption. That's God's plan. He has a plan and purpose. And why I'm here is I'm His learner, His disciple, and He wants you to know this. Let us not forget and be hindered by that purpose. And let us not also forget that even in Jesus' day, as He sent out those 70 or those 72, whatever your translation says, they went with miraculous powers because Jesus had not yet been crucified. The Word of God and the New Testament and the Scriptures we have had not yet been closed. But now that we go, He says it's not the focus of the performing of miracles as much as it is the professing and the proclaiming of the message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He saved me. I'm a miracle. Here was my life. Here's my new life. This person who's with me, because we're going to go two by two, they share their life. That same story resonates with every single person about their lostness and now them being found. So we must be diligent in the purpose. And then finally, number 10, be discerning. When is it time to depart such a community, a town, a village? But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. There's some folks who will reject the truth of the gospel, just like maybe you did for a season. Maybe there's people in your life right now, they're rejecting right now. Keep sharing, they may accept tomorrow. But notice what he says. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. Though people reject the truth of the gospel, that does not make it null and void. That does not make it the truth from God. The Word became flesh. It is God's truth. Whether people accept it and receive it or not, it is the truth. It is God's way. And God says, make sure people know that. Yes, you're rejecting me. Yes, you're rejecting this message. But be aware, know that what you're rejecting is God's plan, is the bridge to forgiveness and to hope and to eternal life. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And then we notice, we had our Bibles open to verse 17, then the 72 returned with joy. Why? Because they were faithful. Why? Because thousands and thousands became disciples of Jesus? No. We're told in the Scripture, Jesus, who had a ministry of 3.5 years amongst Israel, probably didn't have 1,000 followers. God showed up in the flesh. People en masse did not respond to him. But those who did spent the rest of their lives sharing the good news, sharing Jesus. Why they came back with joy is because they were obedient. Jesus sent them. He said, do what I tell you to do. Here's how you do it. Here's why you're doing it. They came back and they were full of joy because they had obeyed him. And things did happen. And so they rejoiced in that together. So as we pray as a church, as we seek God together, and if you're here today and you're a guest and you're saying, what's going on? Well, you can have a sense. This is in the beginning of this year. This is inquisitive time. This is prayer time. This is God leading our church into something that may or may not be his will. And we're wanting to know. And he's not telling one or two people or three pastors or a steering team. He's going to tell the whole church. We believe that. That's his pattern. And so that's why we're walking through this together. Join us on the journey. Be a part of asking him, God, what is the will for Open Arms Church? Let these people know. And maybe God wants you to be a part of that journey and join with us, not only here in the capital region, in the town that you live in, but maybe to a remote village in Burkina Faso, West Africa, Sierra Dugu, where there are people who are saying, we want to hear this good news of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your good news. Thank you, it's touched us. Lord, as we seek you and come to you and listen for you, we know, God, that you speak. We know that even in our weakness, when we don't know how to pray, your spirit speaks to our spirit with groanings that words cannot express. There's no words coming out of our mouth, but deep in that labor of prayer, the scripture says, your will is made known to us. Deep within our spirit. And that's where we are today, God. That's what we're seeking today, God. That you would speak to us, your children, called out. Are you sending us? Is this the place? Is this the time? Lord, we're listening. We know that you have a plan and purpose for our individual lives and for your church. It's found in your word. We've looked and examined some of that today. So, Lord, speak to us. We thank you for our guests here today. Lord, we thank you that even as we go and have gone to West Africa, and maybe you're calling us to go there for an extended period, Lord, first, this is our Jerusalem. This is our hometown. These are our villages and the cities and the provinces and the municipalities in which we live. And so, Lord, that's why you've raised up this group of people. That's what the church is. Those who were called out from their lostness, from their spiritual blindness, and called to you and are made alive and have a relationship with you and no longer practice a religion, no longer are ritual followers, but walk in the presence of a God that they now know and they see through Jesus, who is God in the flesh. Thank you. And they are welcome to this place. They are welcome on their search of you. And if they know you, then, Lord, maybe this is a family for them to continue to grow and study your word and to make friends, to be a friend, to have a friend. The continued journey of what the plan and purpose for their individual life is and the connection with an extended family. May your will be done here in this community and in the world where we're listening and we're ready to obey. From grace, from your mercy, from your love, not to gain it, not to get it, but from it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.